Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 2, The Beatitudes. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As something strange and new, these words fall upon the ears of the wondering multitude. Such teaching is contrary to all they have ever heard from priest or rabbi. They see in it nothing to flatter their pride or to feed their ambitious hopes. But there is about this new teacher a power that holds them spellbound. The sweetness of divine love flows from his very presence as a fragrance from a flower. His words fall like rain upon the mown grass as showers that water the earth. All feel instinctively that here is one who reads the secrets of the soul, yet who comes near to them with tender compassion. Their hearts are open to him, and as they listen, the Holy Spirit unfolds to them something of the meaning of that lesson which humanity in all ages so needs to learn. In the days of Christ, the religious leaders of the people felt that they were rich in spiritual treasure. The spirit of the Pharisee, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, expressed the feeling of his class and to a great degree of the whole nation. But in the throng that surrounded Jesus, there were some who had a sense of their spiritual poverty. When in the miraculous draught of fishes the divine power of Christ was revealed, Peter fell at the Savior's feet, exclaiming, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So in the multitude gathered upon the mount, there were souls who, in the presence of his purity, felt that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They longed for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. In these souls, Christ's words of greeting awakened hope. They saw that their lives were under the benediction of God. Jesus had presented the cup of blessing to those who felt that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, and they had turned with scorn from the gracious gift. He who feels whole, who thinks that he is reasonably good and is contented with his condition, does not seek to become a partaker of the grace and righteousness of Christ. Pride feels no need, and so it closes the heart against Christ and the infinite blessings he came to give. There is no room for Jesus in the heart of such a person. Those who are rich and honorable in their own eyes do not ask in faith and receive the blessing of God. They feel that they are full, therefore they go away empty. Those who know that they cannot possibly save themselves or of themselves do any righteous action are the ones who appreciate the help that Christ can bestow. They are the poor in spirit whom he declares to be blessed. Whom Christ pardons, he first makes penitent, and it is the office of the Holy Spirit to convince of sin. Those whose hearts have been moved by the convicting Spirit of God see that there is nothing good in themselves. They see that all they have ever done is mingled with self and sin. Like the poor publican, they stand afar off, not daring to lift up so much as their eyes to heaven and cry, God be merciful to me, the sinner. And they are blessed. There is forgiveness for the penitent, for Christ is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. God's promise is, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A new heart also will I give you, and I will put my spirit within you. Of the poor in spirit, Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom is not, as Christ's hearers had hoped, a temporal and earthly dominion. Christ was opening to men the spiritual kingdom of his love, his grace, his righteousness. The ensign of the Messiah's reign is distinguished by the likeness of the Son of Man. His subjects are the poor in spirit, the meek, the persecuted for righteousness' sake. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Though not yet fully accomplished, the work is begun in them which will make them meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All who have a sense of their deep soul poverty, who feel that they have nothing good in themselves, may find righteousness and strength by looking unto Jesus. He says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He bids you exchange your poverty for the riches of his grace. We are not worthy of God's love. But Christ our surety is worthy and is abundantly able to save all who shall come unto him. Whatever may have been your past experience, however discouraging your present circumstances, if you will come to Jesus just as you are, weak, helpless, and despairing, our compassionate Savior will meet you a great way off and will throw about you his arms of love and his robe of righteousness. He presents us to the Father, clothed in the white raiment of his own character. He pleads before God in our behalf, saying, I have taken the sinner's place. Look not upon this wayward child, but look on me. Does Satan plead loudly against our souls, accusing of sin, and claiming us as his prey? The blood of Christ pleads with greater power. Surely shall one say, In the Lord have I righteousness and strength. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The mourning here brought to view is true heart sorrow for sin. Jesus says, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. And as one is drawn to behold Jesus uplifted on the cross, he discerns the sinfulness of humanity. He sees that it is sin which scourged and crucified the Lord of glory. He sees that while he has been loved with unspeakable tenderness, his life has been a continual scene of ingratitude and rebellion. He has forsaken his best friend and abused heaven's most precious gift. He has crucified to himself the Son of God afresh and pierced anew that bleeding and stricken heart. He is separated from God by a gulf of sin that is broad and black and deep, and he mourns in brokenness of heart. Such mourning shall be comforted. God reveals to us our guilt that we may flee to Christ and through him, free from the bondage of sin and rejoice in the liberty of the sons of God. In true contrition, we may come to the foot of the cross and there leave our burdens. The Savior's words have a message of comfort to those who are suffering affliction or bereavement. Our sorrows do not spring out of the ground. God doth not willingly afflict nor grieve the children of man. When he permits trials and afflictions, it is for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. If received in faith, a trial that seems so bitter and hard to bear will prove a blessing. The cruel blow that blights the joys of earth will be the means of turning our eyes to heaven. How many there are who would never have known Jesus had not sorrow led them to seek comfort in him. The trials of life are God's workmen to remove the impurities and roughness from our character. Their hewing, squaring, and chiseling, their burnishing and polishing is a painful process. It is hard to be pressed down to the grinding wheel, but the stone is brought forth prepared to fill its place in the heavenly temple. Upon no useless material does the Master bestow such careful, thorough work. Only his precious stones are polished after the similitude of a palace. The Lord will work for all who put their trust in him. Precious victories will be gained by the faithful. Precious lessons will be learned. Precious experiences will be realized. Our Heavenly Father is never unmindful of those whom sorrow has touched. When David went up the Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered and he went barefoot, the Lord was looking pityingly upon him. David was clothed in sackcloth and his conscience was scourging him. The outward signs of humiliation testified of his contrition. In tearful, heartbroken utterances he presented his to God, and the Lord did not forsake his servant. Never was David nearer to the heart of infinite love than when, conscience smitten, he fled for his life from his enemies, who had been stirred to rebellion by his own son. The Lord says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Christ lifts up the contrite heart and refines the mourning soul until it becomes his abode. But when tribulation comes upon us, how many of us are like Jacob? We think it the hand of an enemy. And in the darkness we wrestle blindly until our strength is spent and we find no comfort or deliverance. To Jacob, the divine touch at break of day revealed the one with whom he had been contending, the angel of the covenant. And weeping and helpless, he fell upon the breast of infinite love to receive the blessing for which his soul longed. We also need to learn that trials mean benefit and not to despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when we are rebuked of him. Happy is the man that God correcteth, kesor, and bindeth up, he woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. To every stricken one, Jesus comes with the ministry of healing. The life of bereavement, pain, and suffering may be brightened by precious revealings of his presence. God would not have us remain pressed down by dumb sorrow with sore and breaking hearts. He would have us look up and behold his dear face of love. The blessed Savior stands by many whose eyes are so blinded by tears that they do not discern him. He longs to clasp our hands, to have us look to him in simple faith, permitting him to guide us. His heart is open to our griefs, our sorrows, and our trials. He has loved us with an everlasting love and with loving kindness compassed us about. We may keep the heart stayed upon him and meditate upon his loving kindness all the day. He will lift the soul above the daily sorrow and perplexity into a...
Amen. Amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. Good evening, Sister Tymeko. I'm going to open your line. I thought I was on mute. Could you hear me, Sister Tymeko?
Yes, I can hear you, Sister Paula.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
No, I'm saying praise the Lord. Earlier, did you hear me? I thought I was on mute. I had to come over a friend house to use the connection. Were you able to hear me earlier, a few minutes ago?
Oh, no. I didn't hear you before.
Okay.
So that's why I had to hang up. I couldn't hear you.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, I can hear you. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to mute you and until you're ready to share, then you can press 1. Okay, and we'll go into prayer.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening again, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. I am your host this evening, and we're going to start with a word of prayer because God is truly, truly good, and he's worthy to be praised. He said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be open unto you. And just, you know, before I go into prayer, just before, you know, I was able to get on, I was like, Lord, if you want me to join this prayer line, you're going to have to make a way. You're going to have to give me internet access or phone access or whatever it takes for me to join. And praise the Lord, with the help of Brother Danny and here I was able to add a line, and I'm here talking to my brothers and sisters, and I'm here hosting, and I'm here giving God praise and honor and glory. So I just thank him right now. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, we thank you for this holy Sabbath day of rest. We thank you for your blessed assurance. You say, seek and you shall find. Knock on the door shall be open. And ask, and it shall be given. Lord, we're asking for your Holy Spirit. We're asking for a double portion of your Holy Spirit. We ask that you will forgive us, Lord, of our sins, of our transgression, our iniquity, Lord. Please cleanse us from all unrighteousness and be with our brothers and sisters, our family, our friends. Help them to be submissive. Help them to be obedient unto you, Lord. We just thank you again for each and everyone that's joining us. And also for the speaker, we ask that you will bless Brother Ricardo. We thank you for those who are joining us via the internet from South Korea, from Japan, the Netherlands, from Canada, from Jamaica, and throughout the United States. Lord, it's a blessing to serve you and to encourage others as we come together being unified in love. We thank you again. Bless us this Sabbath. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, bear with me. I'm not wearing my glasses, but I just wanted to read this. It says, I'm going to ask my dear Brother Danny to read it.
I can show you how to make it bigger.
So he can participate. Can you read that?
I pray that my brethren may realize that the third angel's message means much to us, and that the observance of the true Sabbath is to be the sign that distinguishes those who serve God from those who serve him not. Let those awake who have become sleepy and indifferent. We are called to be holy, and we should carefully avoid giving the impression that it is of little consequence whether or not we retain the peculiar features of our faith. Upon us rests the solemn obligation of taking a more decided stand for truth and righteousness than we have taken in the past. The line of demarcation between those who keep the commandments of God and those who do not is to be revealed with unmistakable clearness. We are conscientiously to honor God, diligently using every means of keeping in covenant relation with him, that we may receive his blessings, the blessings so essential for the people who are to be so severely tried, to give the impression that our faith, our religion, is not a dominating power in our lives, is greatly to dishonor God.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Danny. Praise the Lord. So as we heard the reading, it's going to be a line of denotation saying demarking who is on the Lord's side and who is not. So this day we have to choose who we're going to serve. And, you know, we're doing that each and every day by what we're doing. Are we working for God? Or are we working against him? Are we telling others about his soon coming and how they need to make that preparation? Or are we just going about our busy ways and being distracted and doing things that are worldly and things that are not bringing us closer to God? So each and every day, we're either showing which side we're going to be on when that test comes, because we all have to go through that test. So brothers and sisters, be encouraged, be blessed, and let us purpose in our heart to serve the Lord. Amen. So if there's anyone who would like to share a song, would like a prayer request, or just a quick thought from their devotion or from this week praise report, please press 1 so that I can open your line. God is good, and he is worthy to be praised, my brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. 518-482, happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Thank you, Sister Carlin, for opening my line. Happy Sabbath to everyone. I just want to thank God for his mercies and for his blessings on us from the last time we met. That was yesterday to now. I went out today, and it was a very kind of a rainy day here, but showers of blessing. I love rain. I want to thank God for all of his blessings upon all of us, that he can bring us here on this line again to give him praise. And I don't want to talk, but I want to sing a song. I want to read a poem and then sing this song, because God is so good. It says, this poem says, Jesus, my best friend, and I hope he is all of us best friend. Take time to contemplate Calvary. What will my imagination be? Will I see just a man in great agony nailed to the cruel cross for me? No, I see my best friend dying. I hear him sorrowfully crying. My God, why have you forsaken me? My sinful heart right now is broken as I kneel reverently on my knees. I begin to realize the awfulness of sin. God in Christ became sin for me. In order to cleanse my heart with him, he died the second death on Calvary. My heart responds to his great love. I plead for grace and strength from above. I long to bring joy to the heart of Jesus that was crushed and broken for me. He'll be my best friend through eternity. So that is a very beautiful poem, Jesus, my best friend. And I want to sing this song alone, 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 just alone. It was alone the Savior prayed in dark Gethsemane. Alone he drank the bitter cup and suffered there for me. Alone, alone, he bore it all alone. It was alone he gave himself to save his own. He suffered the blood and died alone. It was alone the Savior stood in Pilate's judgment hall. Alone the crown of sin he wore, forsaken thus by all. Alone, he bore still all it all alone. Alone he gave himself to save his own. He suffered, bled, and died alone. Can you reject such matchless love? Can you his claim disown? Come give your all in gratitude. No, leave him thus alone, alone, alone. He gave himself to save his own. He suffered, bled, and died upon the cross. Alone, alone. He bore and suffered for me. Alone.
Amen. And my dear brothers and sisters and Poppy, that Jesus died not for me alone, but for all of us. He suffered and died alone on that cruel cross for us. And I'm wishing everyone a happy Sabbath. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Consonelli, for the poem. We know, you know, God is worthy to be praised. Some people say their husband, their wife is their best friend, but we know that the Lord should be our best friend most foremost, and then our spouse. So thank you for the poem and the song, beautiful song, Alone. You know, we always want to spend time alone with the Lord so we can hear his still voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And it's always a blessing to hear your voice, my dear sister. God has truly blessed you, and may you continue to use it for his glory. So thank you again, Sister Consonelli. I'll go to the next caller. Again, we're going to be brief, my brothers and sisters, so we can get to the message at the 8 o'clock hour. So I open the line for 272-770. Good evening. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Amen. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Carla, Sister Tymeko from Pennsylvania. And I just want to give the Lord praise and honor and glory for helping me get through another week. And he took good care of me and brought me to and fro to my doctor's appointment safe and sound. So I bless his holy name. And I thank him for everything he does for each and every one of us on this prayer line. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I do have a song I'd like to sing. Amen. He lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his love and care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christians, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for opening my line, precious sister caller, and bless you and your family. My prayer request is to lift up the whole line tonight, all my precious brothers and sisters around the world. I lift up all their families and loved ones and prayer for me and my family as well. But thank you so much, and happy blessed Sabbath to all of you. Love you all. Amen.
Amen. Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Timeka, for that song, He Lives. And we know that we have a Savior that is alive. He's not dead, or he's not like those God that men have made with their hand, that have eyes and see not, have ears and hear not, and, you know, not able to move. But we have a living God. We have a creator of heaven and earth and everything. And we have a God who is willing and ready to save us. And those that are dead, you know, if they're died in Christ, they will live again. They will be risen from the grave. So praise the Lord. Amen. So we will go to the next caller. Again, happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. 985-232. Your line is now open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. Thank you. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank the God for today. Yes, my Jesus lived. And you ask me, I can tell you, because on the bed of affliction I have been, and I'm still living. I could tell he lived. And I just want to thank Sister Tamika and Sister Castaneda and all the rest that I missed that song. I caught those two. It was a beautiful song. And we thank God for all our members that sing, including Sister Carla and Sister Pa, everybody that sings for us, because that's what the Lord like. And this is what I'm about to read on a prayer. Lord, I confess that I am helpless, and I cannot change without you restoring power. Amen. Restore my life and help me to praise you for coming to the trumpet over the death of our sake. Amen. That's what the Lord likes, the trumpet. He likes to hear us sing praises and all that over, so he can be rejoiced. When he hear those things, you know we're trying to make it in. And keep the praying, confessing, and doing all these good things he wants to hear, he wants us to do, to strive to get to him. And that was my prayer. I need him to restore me, reveal me, whatever it takes. And I have to work on my behalf so he can see and know that he wants me to come through. And it's just like going through a baby walk. When you walk, trying to walk, trying to crawl, I understand it, and it's too hard. It's not easy. Definitely not easy for me, but I'm doing a lot of it. And I'm talking and walking just like that song Tamika sang. Lord, I just was in here dancing and moving and couldn't just hear as she sang. And I'm just like getting happy, you know. It was, I just enjoyed it. But I thank God for it. And I just want to pray for all my brothers and sisters. Pray for the Udy family and the Bernard family, some we never heard in a while. And missing members, so I don't remember all of them. And my sister Powell, wherever she's at. Hopefully we hear from her tonight. And just want to pray for my family, because we had like relatives. One funeral was today, and we got one tomorrow. And just want to lift them up. They've just been so close to us. We've been family. And we just, one was 80. He was a veterans, and one is about 62, where she was sick. But this time, Lord called him in, is, you know, sick play, of course, when we stay sick a lot, like chronic illness. But nevertheless, you know, God kept me here, and I'm still here, and I've been battling chronic illness for some years now, and I'm still here, and I thank the Lord. That's why I knew when he was walking and talking with me, it's time to come in and slow down. I just thank God, so I'm going to turn it over to Brother John. I don't want to pull on. God bless you. Keep everyone
in prayer.
Yes, I tell you hello to everyone. This is Brother John from Houma, Louisiana. And I just want to say I'm still hanging in there, and God with God's will, and I'm still challenging, I guess, to say myself. As I always challenge myself to be better and better than as days go by, the years go by, months, and everything. Like I said, no one I'm challenging but myself, just to do better. And God, and do God's will, and spread the word, and I won't be long. And I just want to say that I won't repeat my history of my life, but I moved on to better ways and doing better. So instead of me repeating history, I want to create history. So God bless. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, for coming on and sharing. Of course, God said when we, you know, when we become saved, or when we accept him as our personal savior, we become a new creature in Christ. So, yes, the old man died and the new man is living, the spiritual man, because we're supposed to feed that spiritual man so that he can live. And that's the Holy Spirit, by reading, by praying, spending time with the Lord. Amen. So thank you for sharing, both of you. We're going to go into prayer so that the message can start earlier on time. And I just want to thank each and every one of you. If you didn't get a chance to share, please join us again Sunday evening, and you can share your testimonies or your prayer requests. Amen. So let us pray. Kind and loving Father, it's truly, truly good to know that we have a living Savior who's in the world today. Lord, you're interceding on our behalf, Lord. You're getting ready to stand up. And yet, Lord, many is not saved. Many are still have one foot in and one foot out. They're still in a dead state, sort of, not sure what road they want to take, the narrow one or the wide one. And we know the wide one leads to destruction. Help us, O Lord, to choose life. Help us to trust in you with all our hearts, our soul, and our mind, and not to lead onto our own understanding, Lord. Help us to live holy unto you, that we will one day hear, well done, good and faithful servants. Again, please bless us. Please forgive us. Please create in us a clean heart. We ask a special blessing on Brother Ricardo and his wife, Samantha. May you continue to strengthen them. May you continue to use them for your glory. Bless my brothers and sisters that I'm here at this ministry. May you continue to bless this ministry and each and every one that come into this ministry, those that comes for healing, for school, whatever it is, Lord, may they leave change. And bless the homes and the heart of your people. Pray that they will surrender all to you. You heard the prayer request, Lord. Even before they was uttered, you know each and every one of the callers who would be calling and their prayer requests verbally and those unspoken. Lord, I ask that you will answer each and every one of them according to your will, that they will know that we have a living Savior and he's touched by our infirmity. He's touched by our trials and our pain and suffering, and he wants to heal us and to restore us back to health, and he wants to create in us a clean heart. Again, bless each prayer request that was given and those that gave them also. May you touch them in a special way, Lord. May you transform their life into this life of joy and peace and no more pain and suffering. We thank you again. Bless those that are listening via the internet. May you answer their prayer. Whatever it is, Lord, you know it. We ask that you will create new path for them, Lord. Whatever road is blocked, whatever difficulties they're having, whatever disease or medical problems that they're having, we ask that you will touch them and heal their infirmity. Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I will open Brother Ricardo's line. And, amen. We just have one more hand. One more hand. And please be brief. I believe this is Elder Richardson. Please be brief. We're going into the message right now. 931-332. Your line is now open.
Happy Sabbath to all. And, you know, amen. Somehow, I believe this song, I just sing two stanzas of it. Have you counted the cost? There's a line that is drawn by rejecting, oh Lord, where the call of His Spirit is lost, and you hurry along with a pleasure, my trump. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted? Have you counted the cost? You may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most. For the glitter of sin and the things it will win, have you counted? Have you counted the cost?
Amen. Thank you. God bless. Have a happy Sabbath, everyone.
Amen. Amen. What a song. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Elder Richardson. The main verse was, have you counted the cost? And that should ponder each and every one of our hearts. We know Jesus counted the cost when he went on Calvary and died and shed his blood for each and every one of us. He gave himself. So what are we doing for him? How have we showed that we love him with the life that we're living, which is his? Have we counted? Have we truly counted the cost? I know I haven't truly counted the cost, but, you know, I need to purpose in my heart to count the cost. And there's a song that said, does Jesus care? That's another beautiful song. Does Jesus care? And we know he cares because he counted the cost. He went through all the suffering, the agony, the pain for you and for me. So, brothers and sisters, it's time for us to count the cost. Whether we live or die, we are his. Whatever that we will have to go through, whatever lot we will have to go through, let us choose debt over dishonor. Let us choose Jesus. Because if we're found righteous, we will rise again to meet him in the sky. So let us purpose in our heart to count the cost and to give our life to Jesus. Amen. So we will go into the message right now again. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. I will open the line for Brother Ricardo. And at the end, my brother, you can, once you finish praying, the line will close after that. Or you know, at the end, once you finish praying, the line will close. I won't close out. So I will go ahead and open the line for Brother Ricardo, 610-704. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Amen. Happy Sabbath. Sister Carla, amen. Thank you so much for opening up my line. All right, happy Sabbath, everyone.
Amen.
To another week, God has brought us, all of us on our way, and we can say thank you, Lord, for life again. And as we are looking at the wrath of God, beloved, part 5, I pray that you have your Bible or your notepad to take these notes down, because you need to go back and to search and to see if these things are so. But before I go into the Word, cannot do anything of myself. So we want to come before the throne of grace to ask for the Holy Spirit, which is our teacher and our instructor. So Father in heaven, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Thank you so much for all that you have done for each and every one of us. As I present my brothers and my sisters before your presence and myself, I'm asking you to cleanse us, wash us from all unrighteousness. We ask you for the power of the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, Lord, our divine teacher, to help us to interpret and to comprehend what you are saying to us through thy word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And as beloved, we are looking at the sanctuary in the outer court at the brazen altar. The man of God, when he entered into the sanctuary, he said, then their end. But which part in the sanctuary the man of God saw the end of the wicked or the end of the world? In the outer court at the brazen altar. Go with me now to Psalms. Let me show you something. Go with me to Psalms 73, verse 17. Psalm 73, verse 17. We're going to skip some verse. I want you to look at verse 3 with me. The man of God, when he entered into the sanctuary, because we are looking at the wrath of God. And the wrath of and God is going to show us in the sanctuary in order for us to understand the plan of redemption and our soul salvation in these last days, to understand the great controversy, we have to go into the sanctuary. And I'm going to show you something, what is taking place in the sanctuary. In Psalm 73, verse 3, For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. The man of God perplexed. Some of us Christians were perplexed. They said, Lord, I am serving you. Oh, am I struggling so much? But remember, you are a stranger in this foreign land. If you want to become rich, beloved, that means you become Satan's child. God never purposed for his children to be rich in this life. But don't get me wrong now. God can give us riches according to his counsel and his mercy. But let us not focus on the riches on this world, but our riches will be in glory. Because your wealth will be under your feet. You will walk on street of gold. But come back with me now. Look at verse 5. So the man of God said he was envious at the foolish when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. Verse 5. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. You see what is going on. A lot of people being coming down with sickness. How is it that you're not seeing the elite coming down with sickness? How is that you're not seeing their own children in trouble? But your children, some of our children, going behind bars and all of these things. Our Christian, and I say, but Lord, I'm worshiping you. Lord, I'm serving you. Lord, I'm living a life according to your will on a daily basis. Verse 7 now. Getting to the answer. Verse 7. Their eyes stand out with fatness. This is the wicked now. They have more than heart could wish. Beloved, we are in want. A lot of God's people are in want. Some of us, we want to go into the country. But Lord, I see the rich man. He go to the game and he bet $1 million, $3 million, $5 million on horse racing, car racing, and all these things, Lord. But we are here, Lord. A lot of poor suffering. The man of God, when he enter into the sanctuary, understand the end of the wicked. I pray that you are not in that number. Verse 12 now. Who are these people? Verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly. I'm reading Psalm 73, verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prospering, right? Who you not seeing getting sick, right? Who are fatness, right? And they have more than heart could wish. Verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. This is not your calling, beloved. Your calling is to give the everlasting gospel. This is your wealth. Behold again, these are the ungodly. Who are the ungodly? Who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verse 16 and 17 now. Jump to verse 16 and 17. Remember, the manservant is perplexed. It's bothering him. He said, Lord, I'm serving you and doing what is right. But who is it that the wicked, they are prosper? They are living better than me. But listen now, verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. A lot of us, we see this so painful. The rich, they are lavishing, they are wasting their money. But the man of God, when God revealed this to him, he said now, verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. We're in the sanctuary at the brazen altar, beloved. Are you with me, beloved? Remember, we are dealing with the wrath of God. Remember now, in Psalm 77, verse 13, remember the Bible said, thy way, O God, is in the what? Sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? So if God's ways is in the sanctuary, that means everything God is doing in the what? From the sanctuary. God is working in the sanctuary. So when you need help, beloved, where are you going to get help from? Where are your help coming from? When you pray, when you ask, when you're pleading before God on your knees, and God answer your prayer, where God is answering your prayer from? That's sanctuary. If you don't believe me, Psalm 20, verse 2. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen Zion and strengthen thee out of Zion. So God's going to send his people strength from where? The sanctuary. How are we going to understand the end of the world? In the word of God, which is going to point us to the where? The sanctuary. Where are we going to find Jesus Christ? In these last days, in the sanctuary. What Jesus is doing for you and I, praying for you and I in the world, in the sanctuary. Does this make sense? So now, beloved, the end of the wicked is revealed at the brazen altar, when the fat is separated from the animal and burn and turn to ashes. Right? So now, I tell you that the outer court, God measured it, the sanctuary, and he leave the outer court for the Gentiles. If you don't believe me, go with me now, Revelation chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Revelation chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. 11, chapter 1 and 2. Revelation chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. And there was given me a reed, like unto a rod. We call these things tape measure and all these things. And there, in these last days. And there was given me a reed, like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God. The temple of God is dealing with this. Sanctuary and the altar and them that worship therein. Listen now, verse 2 is key. But the courtyard represents the outer court, represents the world, amen? But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto who? The Gentiles, and the holy city shall they trod underfoot 42 months. So we see right here. So where the men of God saw the end of the wicked, in the order court, where God said, do not measure, because the order court is given for who? The Gentiles. But now the Jews did something in the past, and God going to visit now the Jews. No, the Gentiles. Watch this, beloved. The Jews reject Christ. The Jews kill Jesus. And now, because of that, when probation closed on the Jews, God sent his man servant, Paul, to the Gentiles. Is you and I today? Not outwardly, but inwardly, spiritual Jews. Go with me now, beloved. Go with me to Luke chapter 21. Go with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. God sent a message to his own, and his own reject him, and his own receive him not. And God going to shift his focus now on the Gentiles. These are the nation that are fighting against ancient Israel. But Israel kill and reject Christ. Remember, the Gentiles trodden underfoot the law of God. The Gentiles destroyed Jerusalem. The Gentiles killed God's people. But no, God, the Bible says, he come to his own and his own reject him. And his own receive him not. Watch this now. Luke chapter 21, verse 24. Luke chapter 21, verse 24. Listen to what Jesus said now. This is what Jesus said. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. Who is killing who by the sword now? They shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be what? Trodden down of who? The Gentiles. Remember now, beloved, I come back again. In the sanctuary, God was measuring the sanctuary, but he said, do not measure the courtyard. Leave that out. Why? Because that is given for the Gentiles. Are you with me, beloved? And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. What does Jesus mean, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled? But before we go there, let me give you another witness. Jesus said something right here that is very significant. Jesus said, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of who? The Gentiles, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. What does this mean, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled? Let me give you another scripture. I'm going to give you a little more clarification on that. Go with me to Romans chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, verse 25, Romans chapter 11, verse 25. And when I finish reading Romans, I'm going to read a quotation for you to clarify what we are reading right here. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Listen to what Jesus, the Bible said right here. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit. That blindness in part is happened to who? Israel. Israel is partially blind. Until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. What does this mean, the Gentiles become in? Remember now, the Jews that rejected Jesus. Let me give you another example. You have a job and they fire you, right? Do you know that the position that you are in, they can replace you, right? The Jews that rejected Jesus, now the Gentiles going to be what? Fill that spot for them. Fill in for them. So the Gentiles going to replace the Jews that reject Jesus that was lost in the past, beloved. Watch this now, and I'm going to read a quotation to clarify what I'm saying to you. Signs of the Time, volume 22, page 469, paragraph 7, July 30. 1896, Signs of the Times, volume 22, page 469, paragraph 7, July 30, 18:96, the fullness of the Gentiles. Blindness in part is happening until the fullness of the Gentiles become him. This is dealing with Romans chapter 11, verse 25, until it say, until the fullness of the Gentiles become in unto what place? So he's asking you and I a question. The place of prophecy is asking a question. I read it again. Until the fullness of the Gentiles become into what place? Into Israel. Into who? Israel. So we want to know, who is Israel? All right, now. Holy Trinity, here, beloved. Who is Israel? Of course, it is by the bringing in of the fullness of the Gentiles that all Israel shall be saved. Let us continue and read on. When will the fullness of the Gentiles become in? Question again. Are you hearing this, beloved? When will the fullness of the Gentiles become in? The Lord himself furnishes the answer. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for all nations. All nations mean that God is visiting who? The Gentiles. Because the Jews rejected Christ. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. God is visiting who? The Gentiles. What God is visiting them with? The gospel. What do you think the Bible say? And this gospel shall be preached in all the what? The world. When all of the nation, the Gentiles hear the gospel and they become spiritual Israel. Spiritual Israel means overcomer. Then shall the end what? Come. Let us continue, beloved. God is visiting the Gentiles to take God is visiting the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. By them, Israel is to be made full or complete. Hold it right here. Are you hearing this, beloved? By them, by who? By the Gentiles. By them, Israel is to be made full or complete. As soon as this work of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles is finished, then the end will come. There will be no more preaching to anybody, not to the Gentiles, because they will all have made the final decision and not to the Jews. So you're hearing this, beloved. The Jews rejected Jesus, and God sent his manservant to who? The Gentiles. Let us read a little bit more in the Word of God. Let us read a little bit more now. So I say, who is Israel? What number are they gonna fulfill, beloved? What number are they gonna fulfill in these last days? What is this number? This is dealing with the 144,000. The Gentiles gonna complete or fulfill those who rejected the message and they were cast out. The Gentile is coming in. And beloved, I pray that you remain faithful. The Gentiles are your sons who did not in the message. The Gentiles is your neighbor who did not believe in the message. Are you with me, beloved? Does this make sense? Now let's go one more step with me now. Let me show you now. The Gentiles, they're going to become the 144,000. Remember, they are trying to fulfill or complete the number of Israel, the lost Israel, right? Go with me to Revelation chapter 7, verse 4. Revelation chapter 7, verse 4. Revelation chapter 7, verse 4. This is very important, beloved. God is talking to you and I. Are you an outward Jew or a spiritual Jew? I pray that you are a spiritual Jew. You and I, we are the wild branch grafted in. Revelation chapter 7, verse 4. And I heard the number of them. Who? These are the Gentiles and nations, and this gospel shall be preached to all nations, beloved. As a witness, God is visiting the Gentiles with the same message that the Jews of old rejected. Listen to Revelation chapter 7, verse 4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of who? Israel. Spiritual Israel. What does Israel mean? Overcomer. Overcomer. They will make up the number of the 144,000. They will make it up, beloved. So now, let me show you when the Jews rejected Jesus, they did have 3.5 years grace period. And now they stoned Stephen at A.D. 34. And what? Probation was closed on the Jews. Probation about to close on us. Go with me now to Acts chapter 7, verse 65. Acts chapter 7, verse 65. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. We're dealing with the account of Stephen. Get to the point quickly. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. So, hold it. Stephen saw Jesus is standing. Notice this word. I'm trying to show you something. When the Jews stoned Jesus, that this means probation closed. Let us do a comparison. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And when Michael shall what? Stand up. The great prince will stand for thy people, beloved. When he stand up, there shall be such a time of trouble since never was, since there was a what? Nation. So what posture is Jesus in? Jesus is sitting. And I'm going to prove some scripture with you. Bear with me now. So now, when they were about to stone Stephen, Stephen was preaching. This was the last mercy, the last straw for Israel. Israel caught, put their hands over their ears. So they do not want to hear the everlasting gospel. And what they do, they stone the man of God. And the man of God was filled with the Holy Ghost. And when Stephen looked up, he saw Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. So if Jesus go into heaven, when the disciple was looking in heaven, when a cloud took Jesus in heaven, in what posture is Jesus in? He is sitting. But when Stephen was stoned, beloved, in AD 34, Stephen saw Jesus standing. This is an indication that means probation was closed on the Jews. If you don't believe me now, let me show you some Bible verse to show you what passage Jesus is in. And we're going to come back to Acts chapter 7, verse 55. Amen, beloved? Now go with me to Mark chapter 16, verse 17. I'm going to give you two witnesses, Mark chapter 16, verse, because I'm coming back down to our time, beloved, to show you now. Because when probation closes on you and I, that's going to be it for you and I, beloved. So now we have time to make all things right with God. Mark chapter 16, verse 17.
Chapter 16, verse 17. I gave you the wrong one.
Okay, go with me to Hebrews Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Sorry about that one, beloved. I'm trying to look for when Paul, God sent Paul to the Jews. No. Yes, I am right. I just read it wrong. I think so. You know what? Just let us read. Let's move on. Let us read Hebrews chapter. Sorry about that. My apology, beloved. Let us read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. My apology, beloved. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, enduring the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what posture Jesus is in now? Jesus sitting down at the right hand of God. But when Stephen saw Jesus, what he saw him doing? Standing. Right? So now, if you don't believe me, go with me to Daniel. Some of us, we are familiar with this. Go with me to Daniel. We are doing a comparison. Daniel is showing the future. And we are looking at what happened into the past with ancient Israel, beloved. So let us look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. When everyone's case is decided, beloved, what gonna take place? What gonna take place, beloved? Now go with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 2. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 2. Ezekiel 9, chapter 2. And behold, six men came from the way of the high gate, which lieth towards the north, and every man a slaughtering weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's ink on by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. So we're still looking at this contrary. Remember, the men of God said, until I went into the where? The sanctuary. Then I understand the end of the wicked, the end of sin, the end of wickedness, the end of all of these things. And the six men who stand at the brazen altar, these men represent the seven angels with the seven vials, which we call the wrath of God. And one of them have the writer in corn by his side. This is the one that is sealing God's people, putting a mark or a seal. So God is trying to seal his people. God is trying to save us, beloved, not to destroy us. God is not the God to destroy lives. His will is that none of us to perish, but all men come to repentance. The Bible says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the time of refreshing shall come. The time of refreshing is coming from the sanctuary in the most holy place where Jesus Christ is interceding on you and I behalf. Jesus Christ wants to give you and I the Holy Spirit more than our parents want to give their children gifts. He don't want to destroy you. He wants to destroy sin. You and I have a choice, beloved. So God wants to destroy the fact, the sin. Go with me to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23, beloved. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. God wants to destroy sin out of our lives. You have to be fighting with sin, calling upon the name of the Lord. Save me from my wretchedness, Lord. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. And Moses and Aaron went unto the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. Verse 24. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar, dealing with the brazen altar. What's it going to burn? And the burnt offering and the fat. The fat represents sin. When all the people saw, they shout and fell on their faces. When you are confessing your sins is being removed. The sins is being, in other words, burning up. God wants to consume the sin. That's why John the Baptist said, one is coming that is greater than I. I am not worthy to even stoop down to untie his shoes lace. But he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This fire is not to consume you. This fire God wants to baptize you with the Holy Spirit is to consume sin that's in you and I. Are you with me, beloved? Because God is a consuming fire. And anything fire catch, it consumes. It purifies. Either you make it purify you and clean you, or it will destroy you. So the fire, beloved, that is kindled on the brazen altar, come from God, who is everlasting. This fire, beloved, is the consuming fire of his glory. So that's why when Jesus is coming back into the clouds, man gonna run from him and say to hide us from the face of him that is sat on the cloud. Why? Because Jesus' presence is brighter than the noonday sun. His eyes is like fire, beloved. Foot like a brass coming out of a furnace, a fiery furnace, beloved. Fire is around Jesus, beloved. His presence like a consuming fire. And he wants to consume our sins. You cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. He wants to remove sin so you and I can stand and say, this is the God who we are waiting for. He will save us. This is the God, beloved, who we are waiting for. But why is it taking so long to come? Because he is long-suffering. That no man to perish. Remember, when you see common violence is going up, government is getting crazy and crazy, price is going up. Sky. Why is Jesus is not coming? That Jesus is coming. Get ready. So when we don't see the sky open up with Jesus, why? Because say you are not ready. I am not ready. When God says, cut them down, Jesus, look at these people. They draw nigh with their mouth, but their heart is far away from me. So that not all of my counsels, none of my reproof. They misuse my prophets. They smite my ministers. Ichabod, the glory of God is departing, beloved. Get ready, and stay ready. Jesus love you. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 24. Remember, we're still at the brazen altar in the sanctuary. I'm taking you on a journey now, beloved. I know we are dealing with the fire. Because when the fire of God, remember, they cannot carry no strange fire. Remember what happened to Aaron and to his son when they carry their own strange fire. I pray that you ain't saying that Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit, because that is strange fire. I pray that you ain't saying that the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. That is strange fire. The Holy Spirit, it is a divine person. He have a personality like the Father. He have a personality like the Son. He is a distinct being, three beings. They are three beings. They are distinct, beloved. They have a mind and they are feeling. The Holy Spirit are feeling. The Holy Spirit, it can be grieved. The Holy God wants to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, which you are still unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is trying to redeem you. Because you are paying with a price, great price. The Holy Spirit was given to you and I as a down payment, beloved. As a receipt. Because Jesus Christ died on Calvary cross. Jesus Christ bought you. So now, beloved, when you're coming back, he's going to brought you. Bought and brought. When you go to the supermarket and you go buy the grocery, you're going to pay for, question, are you going to pay for the grocery and left the grocery cart in Walmart or Kroger? No. You're going to brought your stuff with you. Are you with me, beloved? You're going to bring it with you, right? So now you bought the grocery and then you're going to bring it. So now Jesus is coming back for you and I. But now the Holy Spirit is given to you and I as a down payment. In other words, you receive the Holy Spirit in measures. In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus Christ received the Holy Spirit without measure. So God wants to give you and I the last portion of the Holy Spirit, which we call the latter rain. When that happened now, all case is decided. And now the brazen halter can do its work, its final work to consume sin. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 24 said, no, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. In his presence is like a consuming fire. And God loves you, even though he's a consuming fire. In his presence is consuming fire. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you will be also. No more sin. The only mark of sin will be in heaven is Jesus' hand. Nothing you will see. No reminder of sin. No reminder of your mistake. No reminder of your meat. Of your nothingness. No reminder of your cry. Your tears, the only reminder is Jesus' hand. None of us will dare want to sin again. That's what the Bible says. Sin will never rise up again because God is going to consume it. God wants to remove sin from the book. God wants to remove sin from his mind. God wants to remove sin from you and our mind. Get ready because he's coming back. Get ready, beloved. He's coming back, beloved. Jesus loves you. Go with me now. Psalm 37:20. Then let's look back at the altar, beloved. Because at the altar, we saw the fat is being burned. And the Bible is going to show you this. The enemies is like the fat of the Lord. Beloved, listen now. The wrath of God. Psalm 37:20, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of the lamb. Hold it right there. Where does the fat being burned? So where is the fat always being burned, right, beloved? In the outer court, right? At the brazen altar. So God is giving you a view of the future. And the enemies of the Lord shall be as the what? The fat of lambs. They shall consume. What going to consume them? Remember, God is a consuming fire. They shall consume into smoke. Into smoke shall they consume away. God do not want to destroy his people. We have a choice. God is visiting you and I with the gospel. Until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. until the fullness of the Gentiles accept the last message. Seventh-day Adventist, you have the message. Advent light, Christ is visiting you. What do you think he said? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You don't have to go out there to go look for God. God will come and look for you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, in other words, if any man will respond, what do you think the Bible says? Many are called, but few are chosen. The chosen one is the one that say, yes, Lord, here I am. Send me, Lord. Open. Will you open for Jesus? Let him in to your life. Let him in to your circumstances. Let him in to your children's lives. Let him in to your going out, to your coming in. Let him in to your laying down and your raising up. Let him in into your devotion. Let him in into your decision making in these last days. Let him in, beloved, because Jesus Christ is coming. And he ain't coming like as a lamb. He ain't coming as a baby. He ain't coming as a high priest, beloved. Coming as a king of kings and lord of lords. He's coming as a judge. You and I have a pending case in heaven right now. We do not know when our name is coming up. Some of us, we maybe get a ticket or you got to go to court. Sometime your name come up in court. Are you upset? Not present? When your name come up in heaven, you ain't going to be present. You're going to be absent. You're going to be alive or dead, beloved. But you do not know when your name is called before the judge. When the judge look and get your tie, beloved, your record. What will the judge say? Guilty or not guilty? Righteous or flinty still? Jesus love you. Let Jesus smile on your record. Let Jesus smile on your file, beloved, where you are in heaven. Jesus loves you so much. When he look at it, he can smile. This is my daughter. I saw my blood. I saw my character in her. I saw my name written on his forehead. Go and see. What do you think Jesus sent an angel and say, hold until we have seen the servant of our God in their forehead until the fullness of the Gentile come in. Hold until we have seen every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Hold until we have seen Advent life. Hold until we have seen the men and women at an Advent life. Jesus is saying, hold. Why? Because we are not ready. He's long-suffering. None of us to perish, but every man to come to repentance. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the time of refreshing comes, God wants to give his church, his people, the latter rain. When you receive the latter rain, beloved, you will never sin. Sin is eradicated out of your life. Removed forever. No reminder of it. Never will it come back to your mind. Perfect in God's sight. Why do you think Jesus wants to give you a new name? Because you and I right now, we have a pending case. Our name is coming up in review, and beside your name, either for righteous or guilty. Either for sinful, because when your name come up in review, when your name come up, and when Jesus look at your name and he say righteous, that old name that you have, he's going to change it. Because the new name that you're going to get, when you look on the record, clean, not guilty, not filthy, not poor, not blind, not wretched, not naked, but holy still. Jesus wants to give you a new name that is better than sons and daughters. Better than this corrupt name that we have. Better than this name that we have that is marred with sin, beloved. Sin scar our name, but Jesus wants to give you a new name. A new name, beloved. better than the sons of daughter in this world, in this earth, beloved. Get ready, and get ready, and get everyone ready, and stay ready, beloved. Jesus is coming. Beloved, the smell of the fat upon the altar was a sweet savor unto the Lord, for it typifies the sin being consumed and the sinner saved. God don't have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, beloved. Go with me to Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, said the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Who God is addressing? Israel, his people. Who God is addressing? Advent life. He said, turn ye, why shall you die? O house of Adventists, O house of Seventh-day Adventists. Why will you die? I don't have no pleasure in the death in the wicked. Can you imagine when a parent lost their child, they cry? Beloved, you are so precious in the eyes of God. Angels mock the place where God's people is laying. Are you hearing this? You are so precious to the Savior. When you die, beloved, righteous, living upright with God, angels mark your spot. So when death of morning come, angel, beloved, that same angel, beloved, that same angel that keeping you, that same angel that watching over you, that same angel you will see, your guardian angel, beloved, that keeping you, protecting you, distracting you from all these things, keep you away from God. Can you imagine when a child of God dies, or we mourn, but heaven cry over one, beloved. God cry over his children. God even miss his manservant when they pass away. So God don't find no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Can you imagine the righteous, them that are doing his work? God cry. God miss them. Just like you miss your loved ones, you miss that close friend that passed away. Same thing with God. You are precious in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible says, what is man that you are so mindful of him that you visit him? God is visiting the Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles, until those who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That means every man will make the decision either for or against. Jesus loves you. Just remember that, beloved. Jesus loves you. He's coming back. As we can see from the scripture and the sanctuary, beloved, we saw the temple service, beloved. The end of the wicked is the destruction by fire. What I'm showing you at the brazen altar in the sanctuary, in the outer court, the destruction of the wicked is by fire. Everything that you see is going on, beloved, their future, their end is destruction by fire. Don't worry about too much what the power that be is doing. Yes, we need to know what they're doing and get ourselves ready and even pray for some of them. But we are seeing their end, beloved. We have loved ones among us who is not walking, who is not in the ark of safety. Pray for them. Because the wrath of God still abides on them. Pray for your son, pray for your nephew, Pray for your uncle. Pray for your grandma. Pray for your neighbor. Because if they die, their portion is lake of fire. God give every man a choice. God said, go with me to, go with me, beloved. This is what God said, beloved. Go with me to Deuteronomy, I think, verse 19. Go with me to Deuteronomy, verse 19, I believe 30. Chapter 19, verse 30. Deuteronomy. Let me see, I think it's 30. Verse 19. Give me a second, beloved. Let me go for this for you. Okay, yes. Chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Listen what the Lord said, beloved. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record. In other words, record a witness. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, look, God is good. God is showing us these things, and God is choosing for us. He said, therefore, choose life, that both and thy seed may what? Live. Telling us what? Choose life. What life is this? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said in John chapter 6, this is the bread that come down, and any man that eat this bread, he shall not die, but live. Bible just show you, if you get afraid, God do not find pleasure in even the wicked, beloved. So the God you serve is not the God destroying life. But when we are rebellious, give us all these chances. Do you know that God's going to destroy the wicked in love? Have you ever heard that saying? God's going to destroy even the wicked in love. Why? Because you and I, when we read the records, beloved, of those who do not make it, what you're going to think? You're going to say, God is holy in all of his ways. He is just in all of his ways. So you think God going to destroy even Satan in love? What a God. Are you hearing this, beloved? The wrath of God, beloved, it is coming. Even when I'm talking to you, beloved, these things are frightening. Pray for me. Pray for me. Oh, unto me, beloved, preach to others and myself a cast away. Please pray for me. Spend time. Put these things together and to give you these words, beloved. This is God's word. Do not our word. Take these things and make them your own study and to edify and to educate others and to bring them on and through these things. Jesus Christ is coming. Get ready, beloved. Good days ahead. You know, in this world, bad days is coming. See, things is getting worse and worse. But if you are looking for that new Jerusalem, you are already a stranger in this world, a pilgrim walk through a foreign land. Your citizenship is in heaven. Stood fast. Hold on to the faith. Do not give in. Do not give up. We are told, beloved, We have to go through many tribulations to enter. The tribulation is to purify. We have to enter through a lot of tribulation. And these troublous time that is coming upon us, these are the tribulation, and we are told we have to go through it in order for us to enter heaven. Father in heaven, we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. Nothing good we have done, I pray for my brothers and my sisters, oh God. I pray that somebody will hear your voice. I pray that somebody will see a loving God who tried to show us these things, show us the end, and try to help us to escape before the time is too late. As we are about to depart from each other, I pray that your presence will not depart from us, and to keep us and help us to remember that, Lord, the Sabbath is still in session. Help us, oh God. I pray that when we go